All right, so that was the song Honeycomb by Ebba. We were talking about a bunch of stuff, and I have the habit of going off on tangents. And Robin, thank you so much for keeping us on track. did you want to share something around the sort of like intersectional problems that come with the uses of social media?
I mean, one of the things, a few of the things I think that they've identified as making gamification controversial is or are things that we've already touched upon to a certain extent, right? Is that they can appear exploitative, and we know that people who are living on the fringes of society in whatever regard, whether they be racialized or sexualized or live in a different body than what is quote unquote normal, in terms of the Western view of things, are the most likely to be exploited and have their identities exploited. And so that's very real, and one of the things that makes gamification controversial. It's also seemingly oversimplified in terms of how A plus B equals C, and the formulas of any kind of rubric or any kind of mathematics, which is how algorithms and analytics work, right? They're not taking into consideration the multiplicity of either ourselves as singulars, let alone ourselves as a collective unit. And so they're not seemingly very accurate. And because of that, what we know and how we're developing the platforms that use gamification are kind of missing the boat in terms of being able to really translate information into learning. And because they're dependent on this extrinsic motivation and this motivation of reward, that reward system of, oh, I got a like, or oh, I get to unlock the next level. It doesn't actually mean that we've integrated what that knowledge is, or that we've integrated what that information really means to us on a personal sort of level. And so there's this very, I don't know, superficiality about the ways in which this is supposedly engaging people. And I think that the more we see, I think about my dad, and oh, he was just so confused about how to use his phone, his mobile phone, and all of the things that it could do. He couldn't even do the simplest thing with it, let alone get on Facebook and, feel connected. He couldn't figure out why he was getting emails from Facebook, and that he couldn't look at his profile through that, and where he could find his friends. And it was just, something that was not translating to that older generation, right? And I mean, there's lots of people that do figure it out, and lots of people that don't. And I think those people that don't also get left behind because the focus is on the people who are managing with it, right? And unlocking the level and liking the thing. And part of that algorithm because they're in the system of it. And so, the people who are excluding themselves from that system because they don't understand it, which are going to be those marginalized folks, aren't being considered, and their opinions are left out, and therefore the algorithm is left out.
And precisely that, I think, in academics, we hate the word digital natives because that's like the other word that's usually thrown around. Is because like it sort of like indicates that there exists a world where everybody has the access to digital, and it goes back to the conversation that we're having about access and like actually not even access to like the infrastructure like Wi-Fi and stuff, but also like access. Accessibility needs of elderly adults of like font size, brightness, people with disabilities, hearing aids, and all this kind of stuff. But I do want to like sort of go back a little in the sense of like thinking about what kind of users and what kind of like things that these technologies kind of imagine when they're being created, designed, and like sort of thought through, because Facebook came out of a university campus discussion. It is a social media app that came out of the kind of the need of like connecting with your college mates and stuff. And so that got translated into something that we now connect with, at least I or my generation people would connect with elderly folks, saying that, oh, if you've used Facebook, then you're at least above 55, like 50, that's for sure. Because you still use Facebook? Why? You should be using Snapchat. You should be using, I don't know, TikTok. So like what kind of users and neighbors do we create in this process of like trying to keep up with? If you subscribe into this idea of like needing to keep up with these technologies, what kind of users and what kind of quote unquote neighbors do we become in that kind of sense? Do you have,
Yeah, I think Robin, when she used the term algorithms, I'll try to put my conversation around this word, algorithms. Yes, the algorithms have created a community online. I think, again, the division of people because of this algorithm tools and algocracy that we have. I remember my mom, who's like 70 plus, and she's also using Facebook to connect with her kids all over the world. I have my siblings in Australia. I'm in Canada. So I think if she was not on Facebook, she must have missed the maximum part of our lives right now, because whatever we do, we share it on the Facebook. And we have found a new kind of familial space to engage with our parents, that's for sure. But we have been divided along these lines because she is left out of the Instagram world right now. So the younger siblings are on Instagram, so she's left out of that world. So definitely the platforms have also aged, if I may put in that way. Facebook has become more of a boomer and a millennial stuff. More younger generation is found on Instagram and maybe TikTok or YouTube or stuff like that. And coming back to YouTube, that there's another platform that people of my mother's age are really engaged. They consider the stuff on YouTube as sacrosanct. That's something that's real. Every video they scroll through with, and they feel that even if I am saying something about maybe the treatment of skin at home or stuff like that, and they feel that it's something that is truly valuable. But my aunt was talking about YouTube, and we were discussing about YouTube, and she said that her daughters told her that even you can make a video and post it on YouTube, that doesn't mean that you are an expert in that field when you are doing that. So there's a lot of stuff that's going around, and that information is not even relevant or valid for those people. That's the risky part of it. The older generation doesn't know how to put the filters on that kind of information that they are being thrown at. This is the failure of the they don't, these videos, they don't come with a disclaimer that this there's a lot of violent videos that are coming up on YouTube when you're scrolling about the news and the war and the things. That's the stuff that stays in their mind for a long period of time, the violence they see through those videos. There's no disclaimer like we have for the kids that discontent is meant for 14 plus or something. For older people, there's nothing to stop this kind of a negative impact on their mental health and stuff. So I think algorithms and the platform industry has to think about the older people as a important part of our society who's also engaging on these platforms anyways, maybe because of their connectivity or interaction they want to have with their family or something, or with the world, because everything is now in your hand, in that handset, the cell phone that you have. So I think there's a lot of stuff that should be taken care of by them.
Also, like thinking about these platforms thrive because they follow a certain kind of logic. The logic of polarization, and like when you were mentioning about like celebrity culture, so like the economy of these platforms depend on certain kind of users, and like even like advertisements around new kinds of like VR sets and like the new like platforms like Snapchat and TikTok, you'll never see an old person actually featuring in those ads about those apps or things because they are so easily left out of like the target audience. And so they're never included in discussions about accessibility. They're never included in discussions about its design. They're never included in discussions about what kind of content they're subscribing to. And so I think like polarization and like the propaganda videos that my grandma always like keeps sharing with me because she thinks that it's true, and I also need to see that. And the most funny part is the forwarded messages that I keep getting. It's like if you don't forward this message to 10 more people, you're gonna die. And so I can't even tell you how many times I've had to just, you know, like ignore that message and be like, well, it's not true. You know, and that goes back to actually the gamification and like the sort of like you have to like share it with users to remain active or remain an active participant in this sort of like spaces is by sharing, is by doing certain kind of actions. Yeah, I think we also have a little bit of time for another song break, if that's okay with all of us. So I'm also gonna present another song that I stumbled upon. It's by an up and coming indie band here based in Vancouver. So I'm just gonna let you guys listen to the song, and then we'll get back into the conversation and wrap it up.
Chin up, kid, but you learn how to scream when the right like you've never felt. Taking a picture to capture it.
All right, we are here at Intravenous, and I'm being joined by the OG host, actual host. I'm just playing the host today. Robin and Jocelyn. So we were trying to wrap our heads around the gamification of social media and its sort of implications for older adults who are trying to engage with these technologies. Do you guys have any thoughts that you want to share to wrap up, or any things that we can think about moving forward?
I think one of the things that came up just before the song break that I was thinking about, and you know, how you were talking, Jocelyn, about the social media, we get fed information that is hard to discern, you know, is this true? Is this false? Who should I follow? Who should I trust? There's, you know, another one of the sort of controversial issues with the whole idea of gamification is that there's a lot of manipulation and coercion that can be part of the system, you know, and it's sort of built in, and that there's privacy issues also, because you don't know, well, how often does, you know, your social media listen to you and show you ads about the thing you were just talking about, right? Like, it's creepy already. But not only that there's this lacking of consent, right? And or a full awareness of what we're actually getting ourselves into when we engage with social media, and that is, again, you know, kind of getting back to the ways in which it's exploitative, and you know that it can really impact or compound is a better word, compound the already systemic issues that we have and see in society in ways that just replicate themselves to become true, quote unquote, because social media tells us that it's the algorithm's truth.
And I see you saying the word algorithms and AI a lot, but I'm just gonna skip over it. Since Jisleen is our guest today, I will let her sort of like talk through about some of these things. So if you want to share something.
Yeah, I think this gamification reminds of the slot machines that we have in casinos. That could be the appropriate example related in the real world to the virtual world, connecting both of them. And again, the question of ethics and the ethical responsibilities of the platforms, I think, comes forth because the social lives of the people are being scored in here. So making the interactions more monetary and the continual feeding of the information and the video content, I think we need to look into that part more seriously before wrapping up this show, that the professionalism on these platforms related to old bodies is really, really a thing that needs to be studied. The process of housewifization and how female who are recommended because recommended some stuff, the games that you may be interested in this stuff because your friend on the Facebook is also doing this stuff. All those algorithmic recommendations. I think that's the thing that Robin, you were talking about, the coercion that we have in here. That's a kind of digital colonialism, and that's a different topic that we can talk about some other day. So yeah, I think it's the divide is there, and we can see it, but it's difficult to expect that to change in the near future. And the culture that has been created, that the old women or the old celebrities, even the Indian film stars, when they are wearing a particular kind of dress, they get trolled for wearing that kind of dress. Oh, look at that lady, she's wearing what she is wearing at this age. So this at this age is like reminding her that she shouldn't be doing this. So that kind of negative implications definitely make us rethink whether these platforms are really a free space to express anymore. Yeah.
Robin, I don't know if you want to do any goodbyes for the holidays from your side. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that as usual, these conversations just sort of open up a plethora of questions that connect to a bunch of other things, right? And you know, in the way that our digital world is networked, so are the issues that the digital world connects us to. And it's seems so complicated to try to unravel these things sometimes and really see how we can create a way through that feels like we can use these tools as a constructive platform when there's pitfalls that are really dangerous for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And like the band-aid solutions, like some of that we mentioned today might not be the best. And I think we really need to spend some more time rethinking and slowing down a little bit as a human race as well.
I guess on that note, you know, hopefully people get a couple of days to slow down and enjoy family and friends and
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
yeah. And happy holidays from my side too.
Staff and volunteers at CGSF wish you a jolly,
merry,
happy,
joyful,
fantastic,
exciting,
fancy,
magnificent,
remarkable,
special,
white,
sparkling,
terrific,
stunning,
festive,
and
wonderful holiday
season.